둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Where are you based?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, of course, for making your way here and checking out the episode and the series. I do hope you'll get so inspired to hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can grab us at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Recent episodes have included actress Elizabeth Perkins as we talk about the second seasons of both Minx and The After Party. Actress Ellie Kemper came on. You know her from Aaron on The Office or the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. We had Dylan Arnold on to discuss his role in the new movie Oppenheimer. He played Frank Oppenheimer. Keanu Reeves dropped in with his band Dogstar. So we got to talk about their reunion after being apart for 20 years. We had musicians Bruno Major, Janelle Monáe, Greta Van Fleet, Pearl Jam, Lucinda Williams, Ian Hunter from Mötley Crüe. Those are just recent episodes that you can find at the Kyle Meredith With podcast when you subscribe. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is actress, musician, Emily Kinney. She's back to talk about her new record, Swim Team, and we'll hear how Cursive's Tim Kasher gave her the encouragement to keep pursuing music, reconnecting with the music of Rilo Kiley and Counting Crows that she had listened to, you know, back in like her college era, why she wrote a song called Avett Brothers, as well as the participation trophy she gave an ex through the lyrics of B or C for Effort. Emily's also going to talk about her acting influences, how her acting influences her songwriting, with a reference to The Walking Dead and a song The Last Chance, and keeping up with the show she's been on, including that long-running zombie show and Masters of Sex. It's all that and more as we talk about Swim Team. It's Kyle Meredith with Emily Kinney.
Hello.
It's great to have you on here. And let me throw out those compliments. What a fun musically and lyrically fun, even though it's, you know, it's, there's some painful moments, I think, happening in your life. But the record came out on the really fun side with this one. It's I've enjoyed listening to it so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I feel like sometimes painful things, I find ways to sort of tell the truth, but also make them kind of funny in a way, you know, so you can. You're like, should I be laughing at this song or should I be like, feel bad, you know?
And especially so, when you're on this side, when you're like, ooh, how do you ask about that? You know, it's like, you know, we're meeting for the first time here. And I'm sure you do this with everybody, but that, and for any artist, I mean, that's a part of it, right? It's like,
yeah,
like, here's my life.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, like, that's one of the things I like about it is getting a chance to sort of, you know, in real life, you don't always get a chance to say your point of view, or maybe it's not appropriate, or like, you know, all the different things that we are in a moment, you know, you can be that in a song and turn it into something and do the extreme of that feeling, or, you know, you can use it for something. And so I quite like getting a chance to just be like uninterrupted and tell, you know, my side of the story, or at least how it felt, you know, being on my side.
What's interesting, you know, backing up just a little bit, and if I read this right, hearing you talk about before you went into this record, like there was a point where you thought your last record, the previous record might have been your last record.
Yeah, I've done this before, and now I'm sort of like, oh, probably just gonna keep writing songs. Like I thought after Oh Jonathan, I was like, I'm done. But then the last record I felt was, I just was really, really proud of the supporting character. I felt like I had become much more connected to a more spiritual side of myself. I felt like all the songs were just so well crafted. I made them in my house with my friend Ben. I felt so proud of the record. And when I had written that record, I was like, this will be my last, you know, this will be the perfect album, the last one. I don't know if anyone will hear it, you know, whatever, but like, this will be it. And then I had started my own podcast called My Caffeine Withdrawal.
Cheers to that, by the way. That's right here. Yeah.
Oh, you've got your coffee? Yeah. I'm doing iced tea today, which is so different, but I made a big batch. So Tim from the band Cursive was on, and I was interviewing him. And he was kind of packing up, I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm just like done with writing songs for a little while. I'm just gonna like focus on my acting. I'm such a music fan. I'll just keep doing this podcast, you know? And then he was just like, no, you can't stop. And it just, that night, actually, I was like, you know, let me just sit down and see what I come up with. His song too, that he sang on the podcast, was one he was just working on. So just even like seeing his notebook with all of his notes, I was like, it feels good, you know, that feels natural to me. So that night I actually went through my journal, and I'm always keeping little notes and little stanzas of poems. And for the last song I just released, BRC for Effort, was the song I ended up working on that night. And line, I don't want to be his teacher, but if love is a class, he's the one who can't focus sitting in the back. We let him out into the world despite the skills that he lacks. That little stanza I had written in my notebook, and I was like, I'm just gonna work on this, and then wrote the song BRC for Effort, sent it to my friend Ben, and then that kind of led to this whole album. So this whole album I do sort of see as like, it's a very specific period of time. Yeah, I see it as sort of just like this breakup album, lots of like reflection. Yeah.
It's interesting though, that, you know, there was even a moment where you thought, well, that is the final statement. And what does that mean? Like how you've considered this part of your career, that, mm-hmm. you know, that there is something that you were doing that could have an end. I think that's what I find really fascinating about it, you know? And then, I mean, was that what it was? And then suddenly there's a turnaround, like it doesn't have to end.
Yeah. You know, I think, even in my early 20s, I remember saying to a friend, like, someday I want to make an album. You know, I think it felt a little like this creative project that I will see through to the end, and it will be this thing I make. Well, now here I am, this is my fifth album. So I think in my mind, I do sort of stay in the moment and sort of think like, this is the thing. This is the beginning and the end, this thing that I'm making. And then of course, you know, it's done, and then I can move on, or, you know, I almost immediately come up with what the next thing is. Like I love Swim Team, and I'm so excited to share it. Like you said, I feel like it's a really fun record despite being a breakup record. But like, I'm already writing for the next album, have a concept for it. You know, so sometimes I think I can't see past what I'm making, but as soon as I like finish up a certain part of it, I can move on to the next, you know?
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's probably a lot of strengths into doing that too, without, you know, no thinking that, you know, this is like, I think there's a, yeah, strength, I think is what I'm getting at right there too.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I think too, a supporting character, I sort of felt like this is my last, I think just to the thing of like the music business side of it, I sort of felt like, oh, this will be like my big push, you know, will be supporting character. Then of course the pandemic happened and that's when I put it out. But I think now I'm in a really fun place where, like I said, I don't see Swim Team as my last record. So it's a little like, this is the thing I want to make. Like, I don't feel as precious about it. I feel a little like I can be kind of, you know, on the record, there's definitely like some pettiness, some low blows. And I sort of feel like since it's not a statement of my whole being, like I felt like supporting character was, I get to do that. So now lately, since I've just sort of turned over, like, yeah, I'll probably just do this for as long as I think of things, there's less, I'm less precious, and it's all become a lot more fun, I feel.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Emily Kinney.
You know, getting into these songs, hearing not just where you were in your life, talking about it being a bit of a post-breakup album, you know, but even some of the inspiration, you know, I loved hearing you talking about, you know, thinking, listening to Rilo Kiley and the music that you were listening to back in college, which, I mean, that's the thing we all do. That's where, like, I also help program a radio station here in Louisville with WFPK. And when I think about, you know, the music that connects with people, I think, what was the music they were listening to between like 16 and 23?
Yeah.
Like, and that becomes the thing. I mean, is that where you see your, you saw yourself kind of, you know, grabbing back to a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I can think of like different periods of my life. I'm sure you can too, of like, where it's like, ooh, that music is like this era of life, or, oh, I was like dating this person during that album, you know, or I was, you know, or like, this was my group of friends or whatever. But something about the pandemic led me back to just, yeah, well, there were a couple records. Rilo Kiley, I was listening to that Waxahachie record that had just come out. That one a lot. I was listening to this band called The Wild Reeds. They're so great. They're so great. And yeah, and sort of like Counting Crows, like some alternative rock, interesting thing. Like, I just found myself like visiting stuff. I mean, Waxahachie was new. Wild Reeds was fairly new. But yeah, so like, I do feel like, but because we had that pandemic, I think I was getting into the records in a different way than I had in a few years. And getting into them in that same way you do, like you said, when you're like a teenager or in college, where like, you just get into the album from beginning to end and you sort of like know it inside and out in a different way. And I don't think I had been listening to songs or records that way in a minute. And then like during the pandemic, there was all that time, right? And I was single, living by myself. So I would just be like, tonight I'm going to, I kind of got sick of watching TV, you know, I'd be like, I'm going to listen to this whole album and like make myself a little whiskey ginger ale and just like sit here on my couch, you know?
That was, I similarly put the parameter on myself that if I own an album, like if I own a physical piece of it, CD, vinyl, cassette, like whatever it is, I'm not allowed to listen to it on streaming. Like I have to go and I have to grab it and I have to put it in. If I want that Bowie record, that I've got to put it in, you know, yeah. Counting Crows, I did a lot of the same. I mean, that is one of my most important bands of my teenage years right there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was listening to a lot of Counting Crows during the pandemic. I don't know why.
They were comforting. Yeah. I found it comforting again, you know, and I did my years without them. And then suddenly they were one of the ones I agree. I came back to something about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that is, but I do love how that comes out in the music. And you mentioned, you know, the new single, B or C for Effort, which, by the way, the title in itself could win you awards, I think. It's
such
creative wordplay. I don't hope you don't mind just the easy question here, but what's the story behind that song beyond writing it the day that you had Tim on?
Yeah, I mean, when that stanza in my notebook was from a real experience. The whole album is a breakup album. I was really reflecting back on my last relationship, and I think the idea of, you know, giving a grade, I sort of felt like, I want to say this the right way. I sort of felt like it was like a participation trophy, like the B or C for effort. Like, yes, you were there, but what did you really accomplish? Like, what did you, you know, sort of, and also this person represented that a little, like, the, you know, the deeper you get into a relationship, you really get to know their, all their, the things about them. And I really was seeing, you know, in the second half of the relationship, really 6 months in, I started to see a certain kind of babying, you know, that happened all around this person. And so I think the B or C for effort was sort of like a nod to like, he gave it a good try. Like the relationship itself was like failed, but like B or C for effort. But like, you know, the opening line is like, you sent flowers 2 days too late. Like you sent, like, and now I have another mess to clean up. So like not even really getting that part right, you know? And he sent, I remember, I mean, it's a real story. He sent flowers after I broke up with him. And it sort of feels like too late, you know, week before would have been better.
Well, even though, you know, even like, I think that's the thing for most songwriters, right? It's that moment of inspiration, knowing when to grab a hold of, you know, that phrase, because it comes down to, for, you know, it's all about the phrase, right? It's like, that's something, that's a song. That's a song, you know. Are you that kind of artist? Like, do you hear it in the wind or wherever, and you just drop, you know, because you have some of those, it's like, they'll shut down a conversation with a friend. Like, wait a second, I got to write this down. I got to put it in my phone, whatever it is.
Sometimes, I mean, I think it's less of like, I won't stop life to do it, but I'll take a hold of it. Like the song False Start, actually, on this record as well. I was sort of doing some online dating, and the guy that I was talking to on Skype or whatever, or Zoom or whatever it was like, you know, he was describing a relationship. He was like, oh, you know, I had one long relationship and a couple false starts. And that, I was like, what an interesting thing to describe a relationship as a false start. And like, damn, I don't want to be a false start. Like, I was a swimmer when I was a kid, and I like, false start immediately makes me think of swimming, which, I mean, Swim Team is the name of the album. But so I do that where, like, if someone says something really interesting, like, oh, that's an interesting way to describe that, my brain just kind of like files it away. I will also just kind of like, I keep a notes app, obviously, with like, well, I guess it's not, but like, you know, and I have a journal, and sometimes I'm just coming up with little phrases that I think for whatever reason are like important to me, or, you know, hit hard somehow. But a lot of times the songs that are most important to me, it's like, I have the phrase in my head, and the phrase kind of keeps bouncing around and bouncing around until finally I sit down to sort of like fill out the rest of the song, you know? So almost like the thesis of a paper, and that's my thesis. And then that might be the chorus. It might just be one line in the song, but like, I know that it's like, I shape the song around that sort of.
Fill around it. Well, really, I love your lyrics. You know, I love how they go on here, and trying to find those little breadcrumbs and sort of imagining where they come from. You've got a song, right, called Avett Brothers on here.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know you premiered on your Instagram some time back.
Oh, but yeah.
But that's, like, I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, I was trying to think of it from the Avett Brothers point of view, because it's not a song about the Avett Brothers. It's another sort of breakup song, as I understand it. But I thought, you know, if you're the Avett Brothers, you're like, oh, wow, somebody named a song about me. And then you hear it and you go, oh, ouch. That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they listen to it, and I hope they like it, because it's like, it is a sad song. However, you know, there is a feeling of like, well, here's the way that we did work, and that was music. You know, here's one place where we crossed over. Like, maybe everything else has got to go in the trash, but like, you do have great taste in music and bands, t-shirts, you know?
Yeah. The t-shirts. I thought the t-shirt is almost sort of maybe in an opposite way, like the Taylor Swift red scarf that everyone.
Oh, yeah.
About. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, I've still got your. Yeah. I think the t-shirt thing too is like, there was always a little bit of like an ongoing joke between me and a few of my friends about like t-shirts and sunglasses, you know, being a thing that you like steal from your significant other, or someone you hook up with or something. And like, yeah. So I think it's a little bit of like a nod to that as well.
I had exes who their ex had left shirts that I thought were great. And so I inherited those shirts.
Yep.
Luckily, they were never weird about that. Like, oh, I'm just going to wear your ex-boyfriend's shirt. That's great. That's a Beastie Boy shirt. That's mine now. And so.
Yeah. No, there's something about a cool t-shirt that just, willing to put aside,
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Emily Kinney.
Probably an obvious little transition here, but you also have a song called Everything on TV.
Yeah.
But just judging that for the title, and, as anyone who doesn't know, that's the other side of your career. You have the musician and you're the acting. Is this about the intersection of the two somehow?
No. I mean, again, it is a little bit of a phrase that I put in my head. The story of that song is, again, I was dating someone. They came over to my house. We made dinner. This was one of those pandemic, it was we had hung out a few times, but we made dinner and then we were going to watch something on TV. And I said, I have everything. And he laughed and was like, you just said you have everything.
Everything.
I meant on TV, I have everything. I have Hulu. I have, I have Paramount Plus. I've got your Netflix. At this point I had everything. I was like, you're right. That is kind of funny for someone to sit down and be like, I have everything. But then that became, I think it was even the next day, week, I was like, yeah, I have everything on TV. I don't need anyone's company. So that's the story behind that one. That you just need a few streaming services.
It just made me think about Springsteen had a song that came out in the 80s called 57 Channels and Nothing's On, because that's what we had at the time. Right. And now we have the same thing. I think I have every major streaming thing, which means, and if it's not there, you can probably rent it, through Prime or something. You really can. You have everything that's on there. Who needs anybody anymore? And no one goes outside ever again. For you, there's always the question about the intersection, though, and how you, and the balancing of the two. But I would have to think, though, when you decide, you can write music at any point. You can write music while you're between scenes if you want to when you're acting. I sort of know, we have that time.
Yeah.
But do you have to put that side on hold when it's time to make a record? Is there complete separation ever in moments like that?
It's really hard to predict and plan. I've had times when it's worked out real perfectly where it's like, oh, I just finish up a show. And then that's the exact time that I'm going to I have a bunch of songs ready to kind of produce out a little bit but they're always overlapping. I mean, they are such different businesses. So in that way, the scheduling gets complicated. But when it comes to artistic scheduling, there's no problem, because when I don't feel like I have much to reflect on in my own life, or I don't have anything to say, then maybe I get a job magically acting. And now I'm in a new city, new people, and new stories to tell, So if you listen to my whole, catalog of music, I reference things like Atlanta, where I shot The Walking Dead. I reference Greenpoint, in New York. I reference New York a lot because I lived there for 9-10 years. But I think on my last record, I referenced Vancouver because I was there shooting Arrow or something, so it's great. And also you start to the character, of course. I always feel the parts I get are, it hasn't been till recently, but I've realized that a lot of times the parts I get teach me certain lessons. And so even the characters sorting out what they're going through, can become a song. So there's just they really feed each other. Also the most frustrating thing about being an actor is waiting for a job, right? Waiting for an audition. Well, if I don't feel creatively fulfilled, I have this great outlet and I can even perform a show when I want. So I think that that is a really good thing to have as an actor, where you don't feel so dependent on someone picking you. So creatively, I feel like they just really feed each other. And then also my acting has reached such an amazing audience. And so those, that audience then checks out my music sometimes, where I don't know how, you know, if you're just an artist starting at with no fans at zero, you're playing shows and I just get like this wider net of like people who get exposed.
It seems like it'd be really enticing as a songwriter to write from the point of view of a character. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'd want to do that, you know, like, because it's like you're saying, you spend so much time in that mindset. Like, do you like writing about things you've learned about, you know, from the character is one thing, but do you find yourself ever going, okay, this song is going to be from their point of view at all?
I don't know if it's so much from their point of view. I do feel like most of my music that I put out for me is like my point of view, but sometimes I feel like the world that I've been living in for the last month ends up seeping in. There's a song called Last Chance on This Is War. And that one I talk about like this is our last, like it's basically like saying like if the world was over, like we would be each other's like last chance. And I talk about like people in this street and it's sort of like zombies, you know, like and walking, you know, like I was living in that world. So that's sort of those sort of references were so close to me. So when I'm like coming up with the next phrase, you know, these sort of apocalyptic images were easy for me to reference.
Do you find, especially being part of shows like The Walking Dead, like Arrow, you know, these shows that continue, do you keep up with them at all? Or when the job's done, are you checked out?
It really depends. I am also a fan of I did the show Masters of Sex and I was such a fan of the show as well. So like even once my character left, I continued to watch till the very end. And then like Walking Dead, I took a break for a few years and then I really got into season 10 and 11. I just felt like season 11 was really good and I just got, you know, like, so then I could like be a fan again, you know?
Yeah, it's gotta be a thing because so much about like, you know how the sausage is made. Like I've seen movies made, you know, and it's like my son, even right now, he's 15, he's interning on a film that's being shot too. And I've started noticing he's picking up on that stuff. We were watching a movie the other day and he goes, those scenes were shot 2 weeks apart, probably. I'm like, oh, there it is. Like now, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's really interesting that you can, that anybody, I guess, but that you can still get into the seasons, even knowing exactly, you know, what it's like when the cameras are off.
Yeah, and it's that interesting thing too of like, I feel like sometimes I see outside the camera, like the rest of the room, like I'll start to like picture, because I've been in those similar setups, it's like, oh, I see where the gaffer is like holding this thing, and I see where the light got, and I see the sound, like I sort of see more than what they're showing you, which is interesting, and it's kind of annoying now too, I see the cuts so much more. Because like as an actor, you notice now when they cut away from you or cut to show the other person's reaction. And so like the choices the editors make in TV and film, like will bother, like I'm more affected by the choices the editor made. Where maybe I'm just like caught up in the story. And now I'm going like, we didn't see the girl's reaction. Like you cut away or you cut really far, right? When they were crying, like they must've worked really hard.
I mean, that's got to say something about the story, though, that you can even still get into anything like that, you know, like at least the story is there to pull you in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I love movies and TV. And so, I mean,
of course you do. You have everything. That's everything. I have everything.
So I can still definitely like get lost in it.
I love seeing what you do on screen. I especially love hearing what you do on record. And this new one, Swim Team, is so good. And I swear, B or C Forever, it's one of my favorite songs of the year already. I have just played it and played it and played it since they've sent it over. So congratulations on this. I'm so happy that you've decided to continue to be a musician.
Yes, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
My thanks to Emily. The new album is called Swim Team. And thanks to you for checking out the interview, the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. Again, you do that, I'll give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover the new ones at Spotify and iTunes at NPRWFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get classic tracks. You get the best in new music. We got lots of music news, anniversary spins. We'll do bonus interviews. A recent episode of my show included the music of New Order and The Cure and Joe Jackson and Cat Stevens, Nat King Cole, Bruce Springsteen, Chris Stapleton, Tom Waits, Satellite and the Harpoonist, R.E.M., Des Ray, Arlo Parks, Eddie Vedder, Talking Heads, Morrissey, The Breeders, Moby, Supreme Beings of Leisure, Hozier, and it had my interview with country artist Carly Pearce. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the old social media spots. That's Threads, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all four of them. The address is the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Bye, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.